Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation, chapter number 1. I don't believe it'll be long. We'll see Him. Amen. 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 Our Lord said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Brother Hall hit the nail on the head Friday. He said, we are in the days of Lot. No question, no question. You can think whatever you want to about it. There's no question we're living in that day. And I'm glad the Lord's coming. I've got that blessed hope. And I'm glad when He calls, I'm going. Amen. And we're going to get out of this sin-cursed earth. And I'm so glad that is the truth. Amen and amen. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1. I started preaching on this a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember now, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I've got some things have deviated me from it, but I'm going to go back and look at it again. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again today for Calvary.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed to us yourself through the person of your Son. Thank you, Lord, that you've revealed us things that will surely come to
pass. Yes, Lord, thank you.
You've given us the knowledge that we might know the signs of the time.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, that you strengthen our hearts in faith. Yes. You give us divine power and help from above. I pray, Lord, you give us guidance and leadership.
Please, Lord, yes. Yes.
I ask you to help the pastor today.
Help us, Lord.
Protect him and watch over him. Give
yes,
him,
Lord.
That he might feed us. Give
yes, Lord.
The power that he needs today to preach the word of God. Stand, Lord, I pray, in our midst in a wonderful way, enlighten our hearts in love, save sinners.
Yes.
Revive and strengthen, help the people of God, help those that are sick in our midst
yes,
today.
Yep.
And enable me in God's house, especially touch and bless them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank the Lord for that prayer. I mentioned when I started this that I don't intend on going verse by verse through the whole book of Revelation. But I've got a point. I really, the Lord laid on my heart some thoughts out of chapters 2 and 3 on those letters to the churches. But in my study of that, I've got a sermon that I'm, Lord willing, going to work towards getting there one of these days. But in order to get there, I felt like I need to start at the beginning. And so if the Lord would allow us to, my plan is just look through the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. I preached two messages out of the first half of verse number 1. And I just want to mention to you a little bit about that. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now that's what I preached on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. And we saw the revelation, or I call it the unveiling of the Son of God. And then in the latter part of that, we talked about the unveiling of the plan of God. Not only the person, the Son of God, but the plan of God. Those things which must shortly come to pass. I've titled these messages, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, because that's what the word revelation or apocalypse actually means. We've taken the word apocalypse to mean destruction, to mean the end in a big boom and a big collapse. So that's not the word. Apocalypse means unveiling, clearly seeing what is there. And as Brother Hall prayed in his prayer, thank God, God revealed the Son of God to us. Amen. We'd still be lost and on our way to hell if God hadn't revealed the Son of God to us. Amen. And I'm glad for that. I'll say more about that as we go on and look into the Scriptures. But this book of Revelation is an often neglected book by a majority of religious people. I'm afraid some people look at it just as a curiosity. It's just something as a, you know, something to make headlines, something to, to excite somebody's superstition or somebody's idea of the mysterious. And they look at this book as a mysterious book and a difficult to understand book. And part of that is because of the symbolism and because of the space that's covered. He deals with those things that have happened, those things which are happening, and those things which will one day come to be. And so there's a large span of time that's dealt with in that. But when we read this book, we ought to be able to read it and understand that there is a special blessing, he said in verse number 3, to those that would read these words. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now this book of the Revelation declares the consummation of God's plan. I mean, in other words, it tells us that God has set in order things, and that's how it's going to be. Amen. I do appreciate what Brother Woodard said about God not having opinions. Opinions change, and God is unchanging. Amen. And God's not going to change what He said. He's not going to change what He does. Matter of fact, all the plans of men and the changes in our nation and the changes across our world are not changing God's plan. They're only hastening unto what God said would be. Amen. God said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And they're doing that in a major scale. But this book declares the consummation of God's plan. This book declares the collapse of Satan's kingdom. Amen. And Satan's domain. This book declares the conquering of world empires. This book declares the celebration of the kingdom of our Lord that will reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David. Amen. It's no wonder that the saints are excited about the book of Revelation. And it's no wonder that Satan is against the book of Revelation and would try to dissuade us from reading this book. Because it tells us that we're on the winning side. And it reminds us that he is a defeated foe. Amen. Amen. Now, the opening phrase of this chapter declares, I believe, the character of the entire book. And that phrase is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book sets Christ before us in a clearer picture than any other. Amen. It shows Him completely unveiled and clearly seen as the great potentate that He is. Amen. We see Him in this book in 3 primary roles. I'll just drop them and by way of introduction and move on. We see Him resplendent in His high priestly garments. We see Him robed in His kingly majesty. And we see Him revealed in His eternal glory. Amen. Amen. And we see Him that way in this book. You see, some commentators say that the book of Revelation is just a hodgepodge mixture of Jewish myths and the Greek folklore. It is just a hodgepodge of things and ideas that people have had about the end times, and then that the heathen's myths come together and are collected into a marvelous story. But can I tell you, all the heathen myths, the only truth they have is the truth that they have gleaned from the Word of God and from God's plan. And all their myths, if they do come, any of that comes to be, it'll be because it was in the plan of God all along. Amen. Amen. This book is more than a hodgepodge of religious symbols. This book is more than Jewish folklore. It's more than heathen myths collected. It is the revelation in dramatic form of the consummation and climax of the plan of God for the planet Earth. Amen. Amen. This book is a gathering together of all God's promises. This book is a gathering together of all God's dealings with the planet Earth. And it's going to show us how it all comes to be and God's plan for mankind. Amen. Now here we have the authentic and accurate account of the present and future things. Amen. Amen. I remember Brother Roger Tooley's missionary in England. Brother Tooley said there were some gypsies came through, and he went down where the gypsies were and was passing out gospel tracts. And he handed this lady a gospel tract who was a fortune teller, so to speak. That's what she said. And he handed her a gospel tract, and he said, "Ma'am, I'd like to tell you about the future." She said, "Are you a palm reader too?" He said, "No, ma'am, I'm a Bible reader." Amen. Amen. I read another little tale where a preacher came upon a woman that came to be a fortune teller, and she said, "If you'll put some silver in my hand," she said, "I'll tell you your future." He said, "Can you really tell me where I'll be this time next year?" She said, "I sure can." He said, "Can you really tell me what I'll be doing this time tomorrow?" She said, "I sure can." He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll give you double the silver if you can just tell me what I did this time yesterday." She declined because he knew what he did yesterday, and she had no idea. Amen. Well, this crowd that claims to be fortune tellers are fakes, phonies, and frauds. Amen. But I'm telling you, we've got a book that knows the future. Amen. That we've got a God that holds the world in His hand. He holds the future in His hand. God transcends all time. He is the great I Am. He's the God that is, that was, and that evermore shall be. Amen. He inhabits all time. He is a God of eternity. Amen. And He knows the future. And He's given us the authentic and accurate account of the present and the past and future things right here in this book. By the way, notice this is a revelation unto His servants. Verse number 1. A revelation unto His servants. Are you a servant of God? If so, then God has revealed to you and has written this for you to understand and to know. Amen. This very title of the book, Revelation, shows us the lie about this book being a mystery and about this book being very secretive. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the author of the book, and if He chose the name Revelation when actually it does not reveal but rather conceals, then He chose the wrong name. Amen. This book does not conceal, and it does not muddy up sometimes our opinions, sometimes our reading into, and sometimes we make more of symbolism sometimes when God meant it to be just exactly taken like it was. Amen. I read one place where a man said those locusts coming up out of the bottomless pit was really helicopters. Now he's worked a long way to turn a locust into a helicopter. Amen. I'm telling you, when God said what it was, God knew what it was. If He'd once said black helicopter, He could have said black helicopter. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But He didn't. All right. Well, in our previous look, we dealt with verse number 1 there, the person of Christ unveiled and the purpose of God unveiled. Now tonight or today, if I can just for a few minutes, I'll not be long, I don't think. I've got 4 thoughts I want to give you out of these first 3 verses, and then we'll move on. First of all, I want you to notice the receiving of the revelation. And it's right here at the last part of verse number 1, because I've already dealt with the first part, down to where that shall shortly come to pass. He said, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Epistles of John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. So 5 books that John wrote. And in John's writings, particularly in the Gospel of John, he loved the word sign or signify. Signify means signify. That's actually what it means. God takes a sign and He proves Himself by that sign. And John deals with the miracles, and those miracles signified that Jesus was what He claimed to be, that He was the very Son of God, that He was more than man. And John's using that phrase. And so the book of Revelation is full of signs. It's full of symbols, but it is to prove that God knows what He's talking about and His plan will come to pass as He said it would. And so John said He sent that message and He signified that message by His angel unto His servant John. Here's what I want you to notice. John confesses that this prophecy is not his. This is not the revelation of Saint John the Divine. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ unto John that he might give it to the churches. Amen. And as you read through the book, you'll see it over and over that John says, I saw, or I heard, or it was told to him. And so John received that message from the Lord. It was not his own prophecy. Some men preach on prophecy to exalt themselves. Some men want to be known as a prophecy preacher. They want to be known as a man that knows the secrets and the hidden things of the Bible. I'm going to tell you, there are some hidden things that belong to God. Amen. And there's really no reason for us to try to tear them apart and try to learn what they are. We just accept them as they are. Amen. Amen. I mentioned to Brother Hall the other day, we were talking, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and I'd read a book about Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, and it was by Ian Murray, and it was Spurgeon versus hyper-Calvinism. And Spurgeon made this comment about how do we reconcile if God wills that there's a world, and there was a world, but yet God's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. God's willing that men be saved, and yet they're not saved. He said, how can we put that together? He said, I can't understand it all. But he said, there are some pills that's good for you, but he said, they're not good to chew on. Amen. He said, some people are foolish enough to chew those pills when the best thing to do is just swallow it. Amen. Take it in whole. And I'm telling you, I don't understand all about the plan of God, but I can accept it. I don't have to understand it. God's higher than I am. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Amen. If I could put him in a test tube, he'd be pretty small. But he's a big God. They don't fit in our test tubes. Our job is just to receive what he said and believe what he said. Amen. He didn't say we had to understand it. He said we had to receive it. Amen. And so the message was sent to John. And John confesses it's not his message, but rather a message that Christ gave to him. And he announces that the revelation was sent from God. Amen. If you will, turn to the book of Romans chapter number 10. And I'm going to read several verses there that are very familiar to you, no doubt, in this context. I want you to think about it in the context. But I want to talk about how we ought to rejoice in the fact that God saw fit to send us a message. Amen. That God saw fit to send us a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. A revelation of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you were on your way to hell and you were content on your way to hell? You were enjoying your sin. You were satisfied the way you was going. No thoughts of heaven. No thoughts of hell. No thoughts of judgment. No thoughts of God. No thoughts of doing wrong. You was just content where you was going. But something happened. Something got in your way. Something revealed to you that you was going wrong. Something revealed to you that there was a better way. Amen. And that was the mercy of God. It was the grace of God. Amen. That put a stoplight in your path. Amen. That put a yield sign in your path and told you you're headed the wrong direction. That was a message sent. Sent from God. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 8. But what saith it? This message from God. What saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it don't stop there. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. That phrase right there in verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? I want to ask you, who is doing the sending in that verse? Amen. Sometimes we look at that as a missionary. Appreciate Brother White and the missionary work that he's doing and has done. Amen. And I appreciate how God used his missionaries even in this day. But we think about that missionary being sent either by his church church or by a mission board or by an organization. We think He's sent to do a work. But I want to tell you, every message of God, if it reaches you, it must be sent from God. Not just from a preacher, not just from a study, not just from a book. It's got to be sent from God. Amen. Men and women can sit and listen to sermons all day long and never be helped. Amen. Until they finally hear the preaching. Amen. There's something about not just hearing with the ear. Amen. There's something about it getting into the heart. It's something about the heart being open and the good seed falling in good soil. Amen. There's something about God taking that work and sowing the seed into their heart. Amen. Listen, I was in church since I was 8 days old. My mom and daddy got saved when I was 8 days old. Took me to a revival meeting. They got saved. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I wasn't saved until I was 8 years old. By the way, tomorrow will be 41 years ago I got in. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I was 8 years old and God pricked my heart. But I'm going to tell you, that wasn't the first time God had dealt with me. But there's numbers of times I sat under preaching. I heard the truth of God. I saw other people get saved. I saw people get right with God, but I didn't get right with God until God rung my bell. Amen. Amen. There's something about the God, the Holy Spirit, making the preaching effectual to work in the heart of the sinner. Amen. That's the sending of the Word of God. And He called it the receiving. He said, I received the Word. Amen. I got to thinking about John. John was just an ordinary fisherman. Amen. John was just an ordinary fisherman. And Jesus Christ passed by his way one day and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And John made a decision that he followed the Lord Jesus. I do know somewhere along the line, John had already been hearing John the Baptist preach, but apparently he hadn't got out of the fishing business and followed John entirely. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to take you out of the fishing business and put you in soul fishing business. Amen. Amen. And John turned his back on his dad. John turned his back on his profession. John turned his back on his past life and followed the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus worked in his life and let him write the greatest gospel story that's ever been written. Amen. The book of John is the most powerful, the most precious. It's the most complete gospel story in all the Bible. Amen. And then he let him write those three little epistles to the churches. And now he let him write the book of Revelation. Let him see all these things. What a blessing. You know why? Because he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, not only the receiving of the revelation, but the recording of the revelation. Look at verse 2. He said, I'm the servant John that heard this. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Amen. The apostle John was a recipient of the Word of God. He not only took it in, he wrote out what God told him. You see, sometimes men would receive the Word of God and God would move on them just to write these things out. But John actually experienced it. He ascended into heaven. He's still on the Isle of Patmos. But God in the Spirit carried him up into the third heaven and let him see things that no other man's ever seen. Amen. John was even carried into visions more than Daniel was, more than Ezekiel was. And he got to see more clearly than that Old Testament. By the way, because the Old Testament was shadows and types. But John's in the New Testament. He's on this side of Calvary. Praise God. Works reality. Amen. And it's substance right there in front of him. And John got to see all that and he wrote it down. Why did he write it down? So we could receive it. Amen. He recorded it that we could receive it. You see, the Bible is the way to come to know Christ. Amen. I love singing, but singing deals with emotions. So a lot of times people make an emotional decision that's not a rational decision. Amen. To come to Christ is emotional and it is rational, but it is spiritual. Amen. And I believe it takes the preaching of the Word of God to convict a sinner of their sin. Amen. You can argue with them all day long till you're blue in the face and it won't help them. They will not get help. By the way, they'll go on in their sin until God crosses their path with the preaching of God. Amen. And it's not just hearing preaching, it's finally hearing the preaching, as I said a moment ago. Amen. John wrote it down. And the Bible is the way to come to know Jesus. Your love for the Bible, I believe, shows your love for Jesus. Your knowledge of the Bible, I believe, shows your knowledge of Jesus. Amen. I'll ask this question. I'm going to move on. Have you ever received the Word of God? Do you reverence the Word of God? Or do you pick and choose which parts of the Bible you like and which parts of the Bible you don't? Amen. Amen. If you've recognized that the Bible is more than man's Word, that it's actually God's Word, then you know it's not to be tampered with. It's not to be toyed with. Amen. It is to be obeyed. Amen. Amen. Has the Word of God ever been allowed to take root in your heart? Has the Word of God and the preaching changed your life? Amen. Has it changed your attitude, your activities, your dress, your attire? Has it changed you? Are you living the Bible or are you living like you want to? Amen. Well, John didn't record his ideas. He didn't record his conclusions. He simply recorded the Word of God that he heard and the signs and wonders that he saw. Amen. So you've got the receiving of the revelation, the recording of the revelation. Number three, the reward of the revelation. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. Now, God said this is a revelation. By saying that, that ought to encourage us to read it. Amen. Don't you like to understand things, to know things? Amen. One thing that boggles my mind, a lot of things we get, we buy something new and it comes with an owner's manual to tell you how to assemble it. And it'll be a book that thick and it'll have 2 pages in English. Amen. But the 2 pages in English don't tell you half of what you need to know about putting this thing together. I like to be able to read and understand and know what I'm doing. Amen. I'm glad God gave us a manual. Thank God it is that thick. And we need every word. We need every page. Amen. I want to ask you, have you read every word? Have you read every page? Amen. Amen. Well, there's a reward for reading it, this book of Revelation. He not only called it the Revelation to encourage us to read it, but it's the only book in the Bible which God promises a special blessing to those that will read it and study it. Amen. By the way, it's no wonder that the devil will do his best to stop us then, because he don't want us blessed. Amen. Satan would like to rob you of a special blessing. Amen. And try to keep you from reading the Word of God, and in particular, the book of Revelation. Surely it is the responsibility of every born-again believer to read and study his Bible. But this reward is addressed especially to those that read and study the book of Revelation. Now here's an important point I want to point out. And I hadn't thought about it before until a couple of weeks ago when I saw this verse in a different light. When you notice the epistles that were written, Paul wrote epistles to churches. John did, James did, and Peter did. And these epistles to these, and Jude, these epistles to these churches were meant to be read, not just sit down on the pew and read it. They were meant to be read publicly. Amen. Most of the time, those letters, you can find it especially in John's, those letters were written to the pastor. They were addressed to the pastor. So the pastor would get the letter, and the pastor would open up the letter and read it publicly to the people. Amen. That's the point that I see here in this text. That man that would stand up in the midst of the congregation and read the letter, John is saying, you'll be blessed if you'll preach this book. John is saying, you'll be blessed if you'll read this book to the people. Read it publicly. And then they'll be blessed if they'll listen to what's being said. Amen. Amen. What a blessing it is to the reader that is pronounced here to the pastor who faithfully preaches the Word of God. Amen. As I was studying about this and thinking about it, I thought about all the years Brother Hall faithfully pastored here and preached to this crowd. Amen. Whether he is here or not, he preached. Amen. Amen. When people came, people left. He just kept preaching and stayed faithful. Amen. I thought about Brother White down there in Mexico. Those years of where he's at right now, said the hardest place he's ever been, I think he said. And yet he stayed faithful and just keep on. You know what God's doing? God's keeping a record of all that. Sometimes we feel like we're a failure. Sometimes we feel like, well, nobody cares. And by the way, so if a lady prepares a big meal and nobody will sit down and eat it, she gets upset, don't she? That's why I always try to sit down and eat.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But seriously, the preacher prepares a sermon, and then people don't seem like they care. People don't show up, or they do, and they're interested in everything else. They're balancing their checkbook, clipping their fingernails, checking their messages, amen. Doing everything under the sun except listening to what's going on, amen. And what that happens, what that does sometimes, it causes us to be discouraged. But here's the point I want to make. God said, I'm paying attention. I'm the one that's listening. I'm the one that's watching. And I'm keeping a record. And if you'll faithfully preach it, I'll bless you. But he said, if they'll faithfully listen, I'll bless them. Amen. What a blessing it is. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to the preacher and a blessing to the people. It's a blessing to the hearing, but he also said it's a blessing to the heeding. Those things. We don't want to be a forgetful hearer and deceive our own selves. Amen. We want to be a doer of the word. Isn't that right? Well, this book of Revelation is an unveiling to the churches, he says, over and over again. And that's the point that I want to make and get to as we go on. But I'll say this. This reading is done in the church. Amen. This reading is done in the assembly as they came together. That's why I believe we need to have more church services than we've ever had. We need preaching more than we ever have. This nation proved by these things that this whole society is doing in agreement and in appreciation of what those nine justices have approved of. They're saying our nation needs preaching more than it's ever needed preaching. Our nation needs prayer more than it's ever needed prayer. Amen. Amen. God help us. We need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. I see it approaching, don't you? Amen. We need it more than we ever have. Amen. Well, last thing I want you to notice, the realm of the revelation. Verse 3, the last part, for the time is at hand. You see, not only does this book deal with the future, but it deals with things we need today. Amen. This present time. You see, the coming of the Lord in the Scripture, I'm talking about whether you talk about the rapture or the revelation. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is never seen as something immediate, but it's always seen as something imminent, which means it could happen any moment. The Bible never says, tomorrow He'll come. The Bible never says, in 1988 He'll come. The Bible never says on such and such a date He'll come. But it does say, He that shall come will come and shall not tarry. Amen. It is imminent. The coming of the Lord Jesus could happen at any moment. It's not only imminent, but it is impending. When we see the signs of the time, the darkness of the hour, the state of the world, then surely we'd say the Lord must be on His way. Amen. And since that's so, I need to know what He said is going to be taking place. And I need to be prepared not just for myself, but to warn others about what's going on. Amen. I believe the book of Revelation was written, and in my notion that it's written to the churches, then it was not written for those that will go through the tribulation, because the church is going out. Why do we need to know about this? He wrote it to the churches. Amen. And so we need to find out what's in there for us. Well, this statement that we see here, we are to read the prophecy. That means preach it, I believe. We are to heed. We are to be indoctrinated by the prophecy. We are to keep the prophecy. We are to protect it. We are to preserve it. Amen. And hold it intact. Amen. And the statement is followed up by, for the time is at hand. That corresponds with verse number 1, which said, must shortly come to pass. Amen. I believe we're living in the last hours of the last days. The trumpet may sound at any moment. Amen. I don't know when. I don't. But I know it's coming. Amen. Since we can see that this book was specifically written to 7 local churches, we'll see that in the next verse, we can understand that this message is to the church. Therefore, it is relevant for today. Amen. We're living in the last days. We're nearing the end of the age. Therefore, we ought to hide the Word of God in our heart more than ever before. Amen. We ought to heed the Word of God in our life more than ever before to enable us to stand when this wicked day comes, and it has come. Amen. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart. We need to hold to the Word of God, and we need to live out the Word of God in our life. Let's stand to our feet. with heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll get them to come with a song. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, listen, the time's at hand. Time's short. Thing for us to do is get all the Word of God we can get.
Right.
Stay with God. Don't turn your back on the Lord now. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God again. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing of this place, the blessings that have been in this place. Lord, the fact that Your eyes are still on this place, Your ears still intent to the prayers made in this place. And Lord, I pray You'll help us. Help us, dear God, to come together stronger than we ever have. And Lord, to stand and proclaim the truth louder than we ever have until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name I pray. I pray You'd use the invitation for Your glory. Amen and amen. If you need to come while we sing, you obey the Lord. What are we singing, brother?
Page 12.
Page number 12. If you need to come, altar's always open.